let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Oh,
Jerusalem, the holy city, is a special place to a lot of people. In Psalm 122, the Bible tells us, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." It seems strange that the holy city would be a place of strife and unrest. But it's true. If you were to go to Jerusalem today and visit the site of the ancient Jewish temple, you'd see lots of religious people trying to worship. But you'd also see lots of heavily armed soldiers trying to keep the peace. This is the same Jerusalem that Jesus entered almost 2,000 years ago. He came into the city during a busy Jewish holiday. Worshippers were everywhere, and soldiers were trying to keep the peace. The Jews were tired of taking orders from the Roman soldiers and paying taxes to Caesar. They wanted a leader of their own choosing, a Messiah, who would usher in the golden age of Jewish power and prosperity. The news of Jesus' great miracles had spread throughout Israel. Everyone was talking about him. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem during Passover week, the people were ready.
Hosanna! Hosanna!
Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Glory to God!
Hosanna in the highest!
Hosanna!
Hosanna!
When I saw how the crowd responded to Jesus, I was so happy for my son. The angel had told me that this day would come, but I still could hardly believe it. I was so excited for him. Jesus deserved every bit of the honor that he was getting. My dear, precious boy, he had been a servant to all of us, and now he would be king.
I warned Pilate that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. As the high priest, I demanded action. But Pilate just chuckled and said, "Noble Caiaphas, I do not possess your skill at navigating such complex religious squabbles." Well, there's going to be trouble. I can feel it. Some of this rabble even calls Jesus the Messiah. Can you believe it? First, he's a carpenter. And now, he's the Messiah. These bored, deluded fools. The crowd may lift Jesus up, but I will lay him low.
"Simon Peter, follow me." Those were the first words Jesus said to me. How much I've seen since then. The healings, the miracles. He is the Christ. Now at last the people see it too. We're all shouting, "Hosanna!" together. This is what I have been waiting for. We are going to crown Jesus the King, and I, Peter, will reign with Him. Hosanna! Hosanna to the King!
Streets and
sing Hosanna, 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 let its praises ring. Hosanna, Hosanna, we welcome the Messiah. Hosanna, hallelujah to the King, King of kings, King of kings. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Welcome the Messiah.
It was cold that night. A wisp of cloud half shaded the moon. Still, quiet. I had never seen him like that before. He prayed feverishly, on his knees, on his face. He said it again.
Not my will, but thine be done.
For a moment, I thought I saw another person with him, comforting him. A figure in terrifying white. But then, my Lord was standing over me as I huddled under a tree.
Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour with me?
My eyes were so heavy. I had vowed to follow him to the grave if necessary. And yet, such a simple task as staying awake, I found so difficult. He spoke again.
The hour is come.
Then, Jesus looked beyond me into the dark.
The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He that betrays me is at hand.
And then I heard them. The clamor of an angry mob shattered the stillness of the garden. And at the head of the intruders, Judas, one of our own. The traitor approached us, trembling slightly. He whispered, "Hail, Master." And then he betrayed Jesus with a kiss.
Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away.
And what did we do, his faithful disciples? We forsook him and ran off into the night. Cowards, every one of us.
And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled.
Now we'll silence this blasphemer. I cannot allow this self-appointed Messiah to defy our religious system and get away with it. 30 pieces of silver was a cheap price to pay for peace in Jerusalem.
But Peter followed him afar off, unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end.
They struck him. They spat on him. I huddled by the fire trying to keep warm in the cold night. I didn't know what to do. I had seen him perform great wonders. Why would he not save himself?
You were with Jesus of Galilee.
No, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you not one of his disciples?
No, I don't know him.
Surely you are one of them. Your speech betrays you.
I know not the man. No. The cock crew. And my Lord was looking at me. It is as he said.
And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly.
I did my best to stir up the people of the city against Jesus, and it worked. By the time we reached Pilate, the Roman governor, the people were in a frenzy. Pilate did his best to pacify the mob, but they would have none of it. They were thirsty for blood, Jesus' blood.
And Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They say unto him,
"Let him be crucified."
And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying,
"Crucify him!
Crucify him! Crucify him!"
When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said,
"His blood be on us and on our children."
Then Pilate had Jesus beaten so severely that even I could hardly recognize him. But that wasn't enough. After what seemed like an eternity of torture and suffering, Pilate delivered Jesus, my son, to be crucified. And they crucified Jesus.
And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
They lifted him up on a cross. And where was I? Crouching in a shadowy corner, hiding like a frightened mouse. I jumped at every sound, thinking the Roman soldiers were coming for me next. I should have been at his cross. I just couldn't force myself to go.
This Jesus bragged that he could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. He claimed to be the Son of God. We have lifted this pretender up so that all may see how powerful he truly is. The same people who shouted, Hosanna to the King, are now enjoying the spectacle of his execution. Look at this blasphemer now. Nailed to a worthless stick of wood, gagging and gasping like any other common criminal. Why, in 3 months' time, no one will even remember his name.
And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother.
I actually thought it would kill me to see Jesus on that cross, but I had to be there. He was my child. I had always been there when he needed me since the day he was born. When he was sick as a little boy, I would hold him close, rub his head, sing him to sleep. But now, I could do nothing. Nothing but watch his blood run down that horrible cross.
And Jesus said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
Thank you.
When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he bought fine linen and took him down.
It's over. Look at his cold, lifeless body. No man has ever suffered so. I can still hear his cries of agony as they drove the nails through his hands. Those hands that never did anything but good. Healed the sick. Gave sight to the blind. Broke bread to feed the hungry. Those strong carpenter's hands that I knew would care for me for the rest of my days are now bloody, torn, lifeless. Those kind, loving, beautiful hands.
When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed.
Jesus may be out of the way, but I'm certain his followers will be dreaming up some sort of new mischief. What if they steal the body and claim that Jesus has come back from the dead? I must see to it that Pilate has soldiers posted at the tomb.
I remained in hiding, too scared to go out on the street. Who knew what Caiaphas was planning next? What would I do now? Who really was this Jesus anyway? Did it really even matter? Nothing made sense. I just wanted to get back home to Galilee.
It had been 2 days since Jesus' death. I was drifting in a sea of despair. Every waking moment, I could see my son on that cross, crying out in pain, struggling to breathe. When I tried to close my eyes and sleep, the details only became more vivid. The darkness, the blood, the cursing, the wickedness of those evil men that killed him.
And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they found the stone rolled away. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11.
Mary Magdalene scared us all when she burst into the room and said, The tomb is empty. John and I ran to the tomb and it was empty. And the linen cloth that had been wrapped around his body was lying perfectly in place as if he had just vanished. Dimly, the words of Jesus began to come back to me and whisper a faint glimmer of hope.
The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.
No. The men who were guarding the tomb, they came running to me, scared for their lives and very, very confused. They thought they saw an angel rolling the stone away. And then when they looked inside, they thought that the body was gone. But it was dark, and they were so tired, and they were so confused. They needed my help with the details. So I gave them some money, a rather large sum of money, and I told them exactly what they saw. The disciples came in the darkness while they were sleeping, rolled the stone away, and stole the body of Jesus. It was really quite simple.
An empty tomb? Oh, could it be? Mary Magdalene says that she saw angels, two men in shining white with dazzling faces. Maybe she just imagined them. No, it is possible, I know. I remember the angel God sent to me almost 30 years ago. I can still hear his voice.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
And he shall reign forever. Oh, praise Jehovah! He is alive!
Thank you. of death are broken. They are banished in the night. Jesus' blood paid the price. Satan's power has been denied. Like the chain, the tomb was empty at the dawning of the light. He's alive, he's alive. Christ no rose and he's alive.
Rumors were spreading like wildfire, and no one knew what to believe. Later that evening, I got the disciples together to try and figure out what to do next. Most of us were still afraid of our own shadows, so we locked all the doors and covered the windows. We didn't know if Caiaphas would come for one of us or all of us.
Then came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
I felt the scars in his hand, the wound in his side. My utter despair was transformed into joy. Our King was alive, and I would follow him no matter where he led me.
As it turned out, the rumors were harder to kill than Jesus had been. His followers kept making up stories of miraculous sightings of their dead Messiah. And those men that Jesus called his disciples. I can't explain it. But they were changed men. They weren't scared, timid children anymore. My threats did nothing to silence them. They were bold and they were confident. Even the threat of death just seemed to spur them on. What changed them?
Most of the disciples would eventually be martyred for preaching the gospel and telling everyone they met about the resurrection of Jesus. Why would these men so readily give their lives?
Because we experienced the truth. Jesus Christ arose from the grave. I knew He was God, my God, and no power on earth would silence me. To my shame, 3 times I denied my Lord. I will not deny Him again.
And Jesus spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
He lives, and I live again because of him. I saw him carried up into the clouds, into the very heavens.
My Lord lives. Master, teacher, Savior, King. He has forgiven my doubt, my sin, my denial, and thank God, he has not left me.
As he promised, he is with me always. He sits at the right hand of God, my Son, my Lord, my King.
Even unto the end of the world, I will show forth his praises of him who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light.
The angel said that he would come again. Even so, my Lord Jesus, come.
We lift up your name and give you glory,
both now and forevermore.